grateful and thankful. We're children of the Most High God. We're so thankful of the covenant we have through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We are blessed. We are blessed. We are blessed. Thank you, Lord. We are forgiven. We are accepted. Hallelujah. We are prosperous. We are healthy. We are wealthy. We are wise. We have the mind of Christ. We are victorious in every situation. We live by love, joy, and peace.
Hallelujah.
And so we come together this morning to experience your presence, experience your glory. We come together today to be transformed more into the image of Jesus Christ so we can experience everything that you have available to us, and we can be testimonies to your goodness and your grace and your mercy to those around us.
Thank you, Lord.
So we thank you for it, Father. We are here. We focus on you, and we allow you. By a choice, we say, Holy Spirit, have your way. Whatever you want done this morning to accomplish what needs to be accomplished, let it rip. We thank you for it. We see it is done through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
It's a new era. Let it begin. It's untold favor. We're walking in. Your word was spoken, and we believe. You pour out blessing. We receive it. Oh, it's a new day. We're on top of the world. And oh, it's a new sound that we're singing out. Everybody celebrate, 'cause we're living in the greatest days. Lifting up the highest praise, 'cause you're worthy, Lord, you're worthy. We're dreaming bigger, we're stretching out. Our faith is rising, the future now. We're moving forward, no turning back. Your plan unfolding, we receive it. It's a new day, we're on top of the world. And oh, it's a new sound that we're singing out. Everybody celebrate, 'cause we're living in the greatest day. Lifting up the highest praise, 'cause you're worthy, Lord, you're worthy. A blessing that we can't contain, yeah. There are miracles we can't explain, yes, Lord. We're dancing in this joy again, 'cause you're worthy, Lord, you're worthy. And yes, yes, Lord, we agree that yes, yes, it's in your heart to bless, bless. Lord, we receive it. Thank you, Lord. Yes, yes. Lord, we agree that yes, yes. It's in your heart to bless, bless. Lord, we receive it. Yes, we do. Thank you, Lord. Yes, yes. Lord, we release it. We're living in the greatest days, lifting up the highest praise, 'cause you're worthy, Lord, you're worthy, yeah. A blessing that we can't contain, there are miracles we can't explain, yes, Lord. Dancing in this joy again, 'cause you're worthy, Lord, you're worthy, yeah. Whoa, oh, oh. Whoa, oh, oh, you're worthy, Lord. Whoa, oh, oh, whoa, oh, oh, whoa, oh, oh. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You are worthy, Lord. You are holy. There is none like you. We give you all the glory and honor and praise.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Y'all better watch it. You're going to get excited. Woo. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Just thinking it was up the house yesterday and looking outside, and we had kind of a work day at the house, and looking out and seeing them working in short sleeve shirts. And then we get up this morning. Yeah. The snow wasn't coming down. It was going sideways. But yet it was still coming to the ground. I don't know. How does that happen? I suppose it was inevitable. It was going to happen sooner or later, huh? Later would have been good, but here it is. Praise God. Hallelujah. How's everybody this morning? Y'all looking good. Must have had razor blades for breakfast. Looking sharp. We better turn in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. All right. We're going to look at starting verse 15. There are, in the New Testament, chapter 1, Ephesians. Oops. I'm going to fold that back a little bit. There are, I think a lot of you are aware of it. There are a few prayers, especially from the Apostle Paul in New Testament, that he prayed for the churches. So these are prayers that you can pray for other Christians. They're not made so much for the unsaved as they are for the saved, because Paul's praying for the church. We can pray these for ourselves. Brother Hagin talked about praying him over and over again, because there are specific things in here that are good, and there are patterns. You've been listening to a set of CDs on prayer, and it's talking about, a lot of it's based upon what we would call the Lord's Prayer. Remember Larry Lee years ago, did a lot of teaching on that. And, one of the things pointed out, I think that we realize that Jesus never intended that for something to be repeated every time we got together. In fact, repeating was not what it was all about. There are patterns in that prayer that cover the ways that we can pray. And when you understand it, and also understand that some of it is Old Testament prayer, because Jesus, up until the time that he died, is still dealing with the Old Testament. Then he dies, and everything revolves around that. I mean, think about it. If you could picture this in your mind, picture a huge cross. And everything before that is Old Testament, and everything after that is New Testament. And so when we're praying or anything, the Old Testament people were looking forward to something that had to happen yet. And when you think, every time I read in Hebrews where it says that, all these people were in faith, Enoch and Moses and Abraham's in there, all these people in faith. And it says, these died believing God. They had to die believing that it's still going to happen after they die. Amen. And think of what it must have been like when Jesus gave his life on the cross. And after he did his thing in hell, he actually visited this place called paradise in the earth, Tartarus. And imagine what that would have been like when he showed up. Wow. We believed God when we died. And here he is. Now it's done. And then he could usher them from that place on earth to the place in heaven. After he cleaned up the Holy of Holies in heaven and made a place for them to go. Wow. Now, the good thing for us is we look back. We don't have to wait for something to happen. We don't have to do something to make it happen. We look back to something that's already happened, praise God. He's died. He's raised from the dead. Sin is taken care of. Sickness and disease are taken care of. Everything that we need is taken care of. And all we have to do is believe. All comes down to that. Praise God. Praise God. Now, back to the prayer. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Paul says, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, did not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Far above. Everybody say far above.
Far above.
All principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things. Everybody say all things.
All things.
Under his feet, gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Are you in the church?
Amen.
Are you part of the body?
Amen.
Where's the devil? All right. Now, go back to verse 18. Because the parts we want to pull up, because there are things here that, how can I say, they give us direction for believing and for praying and for praying for other people, other Christians and so on. Verse 18, the second half of that verse says, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of inheritance of the saints. Let's take this little bit at a time, a phrase at a time, and see if we can draw the most out of it as possible. The hope of his calling. One thing that I hadn't noticed until we were listening to this CD on prayer, it's the hope of his calling. It's not the hope of my calling. It's not the hope of your calling. It's not the hope of Brother Hagin's calling or Kenneth Copeland's calling or Joyce Meyer calling. It's the hope of his calling, based upon his calling. And, you know, he fulfilled his calling. We, and our hope, our confident expectation with joy is based upon the fact that he fulfilled his calling. It's not whether I can fulfill my calling or not. It's whether he fulfilled his calling or not, and I can believe that he fulfilled his calling or not. Praise God. So that, and you know, his calling was to fulfill a covenant. When we think about covenants, there's a lot of covenants in the Bible that we, when you go to Bible school, one of the things you probably would study are the covenants. It's an interesting study, but there's only a few of them that really have anything to do with us. And one thing we can say is the Abrahamic covenant, the covenant with Abraham, or Abraham's time, I should say, has to do with us because, you know, what happened there, remember Abraham laid out the animals the way that God told him to, cut them in half, and it says something like a smoking flax and so on, walked between them. Well, that wasn't Abraham. Abraham was asleep. God gave him a sleeping pill and he was out, man. Bong. Remember, I like that sleeping pill. Some things was walking between it. Apparently, as I look at it, it was the Father and the Son. And they made a covenant between the two of them and walked between. So everything that, you know, all the good stuff that comes out of the Abrahamic covenant is ours because we're in Christ. Because the New Testament, Paul said, it's not about seeds, it's about the seed. And the seed is the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God. Now, and then we look back on it now and we say not only the Abrahamic covenant, but the most important thing is the new covenant. Remember we just a couple of weeks ago, we took the cracker and the grape juice and we remembered the new covenant. This is the new covenant, Jesus said, I make with you.
Amen.
And he was certainly involved in that. He was all about that. And when we're in him, everything about the new covenant belongs to us. He fulfilled his calling, and therefore it belongs to us. Now, hold your place there and go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. It's one of those scriptures that should be. If it's not underlined yet, it should be. You know, the value of underlining and highlighting is when you're kind of leafing through, all something jumps out at you. Diane was saying one time she just went, got her Bible out, just started going through where she underlined or highlighted, and man, the light starts to come on, you know. Highlight. For all the promises of God, in Him, are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us. They're all yes in Him. It's all about in Him. You know, you've heard about, we talk about the in Him realities, the in Him scriptures, and it's not just a nice little book that Brother Hagin wrote. This is our life. These are our rights. This is everything. It's worth going through the New Testament and underlining and highlighting every time it says in Him or in whom or those kind of things, because this is what it's all about. In Jesus, all the promises are yes. I remind myself regularly, you should remind yourself, I'm already qualified for the promises. I don't have to do something to get qualified. If I'm born again, I'm qualified, praise God. Not even baptized in the Spirit, just born again, qualified for all the promises. I'm qualified to be healed. I am qualified, I'm forgiven already. I'm qualified for peace. I'm qualified for prosperity. I'm qualified for everything that's in that covenant because in Jesus it's yes. When He was dying and being raised from the dead, spending time in hell, God was saying yes. What's the answer? Yes. So you know this old religious thing, I prayed and God said no. Religious. The only thing that God would say no to would be something you're not called to do that or something like that. But as far as all the promises are concerned, the answer is already yes before we even go in and talk to God about it. In fact, there's not reason. When we get a hold of this, when we get a hold of this, there won't be any reason to ask. You understand what I'm saying? There's no reason to have to go and ask when you already know. It's taken care of. What we're working on is getting to the place where we know, where we're experiencing it, where we believe it in our heart, not just in our head, praise God. And notice that all the promises, they're in Christ. Well, guess where we are? Praise God. Shoot, it's good news. No wonder they call it the gospel, huh? Praise God. So, and one of the things that I really want to get across to us and remind us of is there's no earning as far as we're concerned. You got to earn it. I think that we, I've been hearing that a lot lately, but I think that we don't realize how much we earn. We try to earn stuff. Well, I think we're coming to the place where we recognize certain things are earning that we're not going to do anymore, but you know, so much of what we do, when you get down to the bottom line of it, it's we're trying to earn it. We're trying to impress God in some way, so He'll do something that He's already done. Think about what I'm saying here. If you're trying to get God to do something, Lord, when are you going to heal me? He has already done it. And if I'm doing anything in the meantime, I've got to pray more. I've got to, you know, the whole thing of gritting your teeth and struggling is about trying to earn something that has already been earned. We couldn't have earned it anyway, but Jesus already, if there was any earning, He earned it for us. What was that commercial, we make money the old-fashioned way, we earn it. You know, Christians, the old-time religion a lot of times seems to be, we're going to earn it, we're going to struggle. I mean, Di and I were talking this morning about, you know, a lot of our theology comes from the songs that we sing. We believe because we sang that, you sang those songs for so many times over and over again, they really become part of it. They become a heart kind of thing. I mean, some of the things we sang, I get, when I'm going through my mind, I think, whoa, look at those words. What was the one I was thinking of this morning? It was really, really old one I hadn't thought of in a long time. But, you know, it keeps going back to a song like we used to sing, I traveled down a lonely road and no one seems to care. The burden on my weary back had bowed me to despair. I often complained to Jesus how folks were treating me. Then I heard him say so tenderly, if just a cup of water I place within your hand, then just a cup of water is all that I demand. Be faithful, weary pilgrim, the warning I could see. Just take your cross and follow close to me. All right, let's be Christians. Make you want to get out there and do something for God, doesn't it? Whew. Farther along, we'll understand, we'll know all about it. Praise God. You know the whole thing with the cross. Take up your cross and follow me. Well, the only, you know, there's one cross that only Jesus could bear. And, you know, think about, I don't know what the total reality of that is, but there's some things that we have to see right from the beginning. It's a choice. Take up your cross. Or you could choose not to, I suppose. But so this is not my cross. This is not my cross. What you're going, something that you're going through that's been there a long time is not your cross. Not about that at all. Anything that Jesus paid for in his death, burial, and resurrection can't be your cross. And following him, I don't know what the full. I used to teach that the cross was to choose. My calling is to be a husband, so I'm choosing to be a good husband. But then, you know, you get into that, and now I'm back to earning again. Frustrating. It really is. Because you think our Christian life was just about earning. And, you know, you take that away, and it's almost like, well, now what do I do? What happened to my life? All my life was earning, and now it's gone. It is. It's frustrating. I mean, I remember when we first heard about the teaching on the power of the tongue. And you got to stop talking all this negative stuff. You anybody else remember what the first time you began to hear that and you start talking? Well, I can't say that. It's like, didn't have much to say for a while. Didn't know how to turn that thing around because we were talking so negative that that's all we knew how to do. Well, mostly all we know how to do is earn. Because, you know, natural life is a lot like that. If you don't show up for work, then you're not going to earn any money. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, that's been earned for us and given to us. Paul said in the book of Romans, if he gave us Jesus, wouldn't he freely give us all things? That's what, and I understand that we know that here. I know that here. It's down here that's the problem in the heart of getting hold of that and believing it at a heart level. Because when it's at a heart level, you're experiencing it even before you're experiencing it, if you understand what I'm saying. Even before you physically experience it, you're already spiritually experiencing it, and it's yours, praise God. Amen. This is what this is all about. And Paul is praying for the churches that these people would get a hold of that, because that's what he's going around teaching, that they would be enlightened, that the light would come on the inside. You know, when you were a kid, did you ever think, what happens with that light in the refrigerator when you close the door? I did, I don't know. And then you try to open it real quick to see if it's, it's still working. I have friends, good friends, but they seem to believe that the only way the Christians are going to serve God is under pressure. And there's some reason, I suppose, to believe that, because, you know, you take the church in China, I understand, is doing really well, the underground church, and they're under a lot of pressure in some of the places where it's against the law to serve God. People are serving God. Praise God. But, you know, there are a lot of people that aren't. It's not the pressure. My Bible says the goodness of God leads to repentance, and he's not putting the pressure on anyway. So, you know, my friends are thinking, I know people who are just about praying and trying to believe God that things will get worse, because they're thinking that's the only way that the church is really going to get their act together. Doesn't that sound like earning to you? Here's another place to go. Philippians chapter 4. We're going to go back to Ephesians 1 again, but did I say something wrong? Okay. Thought you were going to take my mic away. Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, and now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though surely you did care, but you lacked opportunity. He's talking about, you know, they sent things to him. You know, the church of Philippi was, if Paul had a favorite, this would have been the one, because they supported him no matter what was going on. They supported him, and they were at tough times themselves, but they were the ones that sent, when he was going through a rough time, they sent support to him, and he didn't have to clean up messes there all the time like the church of Corinth. Verse 11, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned. The original language, you could translate this, I learned a secret. Figured out something. In whatever state I am, to be content. Content. Self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency, you could say there. Content is not, I don't care what happens. Content is, no matter what happens, it's all right. Because I'm in Christ, and he's in me. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned, again, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And what's the secret that he learned? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Or like the Amplified says, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. That verse is worth having an Amplified Bible all by itself. Praise God. The secret is I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And Paul said, I learned how to be abased. In other words, I learned how to handle life when life is really bad. And you know, there's no promise that we won't have challenges, that there won't be times when there's pressure on the outside. But when you know who you are in Christ, he said, you know, I'm self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Now, some people can't. They're all right as long as everything's going pretty smooth. But, boy, you get some bumps in the road, and then, shoo. They're thinking, maybe I picked the wrong church. Maybe I picked the wrong religion. Maybe I picked the wrong God. You know, in the times of mythology, they compared gods together. Well, how's things going with your God? I don't know. I had a rough time. Well, I don't want that God. I'm going over with this one. Keep switching around until I find the right one that works here. We found the right God. We found the right Bible. We just have the wrong things in our heart sometimes that need to be changed. And some people can't handle that rough time. But you know, there are other people that can't handle things when things are going well. I was reading some things and saw some things about some of these athletes who were brought up in poverty, and they get to college somehow, and then they go on to the pros, and all of a sudden they're making millions of dollars, and it's the worst thing that happened to them. They can't handle it at all. They kill themselves with drugs and throw money in every direction, and pretty soon they're worse off than they were when they were living in poverty. They can't handle that being prosperous, being abounding. But no matter what's happening, whether everything's going right or everything's going wrong on the outside, when we know who we are, when we know we're qualified for all the promises, when we know who he is and who he is in us, then we're self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Everybody say self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. That's what we are. That's who we are. Praise God. All right, back in Ephesians again, chapter 1. Second part of verse 18 says, the riches of the glory of his inheritance, the riches of the glory of his inheritance. I hadn't noticed how many times it talks about him in here. Him. And that doesn't separate me because I'm in him. Praise God. If I'm in him, whatever he got by his inheritance is mine. Praise God. And you know, the good thing, you know, the thing about the inheritance is somebody has to die. But the good thing as far as we're concerned is somebody did die. Praise God. He already died. And then he came back to life to make sure that what he died for is going to be ours. Praise God. And qualified us for it. So, you know, we just heard Richard say the curses that they're listed, like, in, for example, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, they have no more right coming on us than they do on Jesus. They have no more right coming on us than they do on Jesus. Well, why do they? Because we don't know. We don't believe it. We believe that you have to go through things, or we got some other kind of squirrely belief in there. And when that's in there, squirrely, wow. When that's in there, it's like Prego. When it's in there, it's in there. It's, you know, when that's what we believe, even what we know in our head, is not making the curses stay away. It's not making the healing come. Why is it taking so long? Well, Peter said in the New Testament, we're not waiting for God. He's waiting for us. And it's not about earning it. It's not about finally praying enough. It's not about getting to church enough. It's not about a whole bunch of other things. It's about, what do you believe in your heart? In your heart. We have a lot of information in our heads. The computer is filled with stuff. Do they have some kind of thing with computers where you go in every once in a while and you clean stuff out? Unfortunately, with this computer, it's still in there. From what I understand, whatever we ever heard or anything, it's all in there. But what we need is that, what is the thing that it goes right to that automatically? Default. Yeah, we need the default. The heart is kind of the default, where you open it up and it goes right to that. I was just complaining this morning because you go into the printer, and our printer doesn't go to where we use it all the time. It goes to the other trays and everything. So you got every time, set it for this and set it for that, and make, you want color, you don't want color, all those things, because it's got its own default, and it's gonna do what it's gonna do. Well, our heart's the same way. I know I shouldn't be in this chair, but until I get this believing in my heart, that's when I'm giving myself evidence. I'm building myself up. I'm trying. I'm working on experiencing being out of the chair before I'm out of the chair. You know, this is what it's all about. You get to that point, and I've pictured myself, coming out like Diane did this morning, get things started, and then walking out there. I've seen it. Praise God. Whoo, man. I'm having a good time this morning. Now, verse 20. Here's some of Jesus' inheritance, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. What were we saying before? Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and devil and demon, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet, no matter who's president, no matter what the economy's doing, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Sounds like me. It sounds like you, the church. Praise God. Resurrection power. Same spirit. Romans 8:11 says that the same spirit, since the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, He will quicken. He will make alive your mortal body. Does the same Spirit dwell in you? Then He's quickening your mortal body. He'll do it if you give Him an opportunity. See, there's too much room. We're giving too much room to the devil. Too much talk about the devil. What's the devil doing? You know, I heard somebody say one time that in church we get used to saying things a certain way. Somebody talked something like, gave a testimony, something like this: the devil has been after me all week, praise His holy name. You don't think that's what they meant. But you know, you get just talking about the wrong stuff. What's the devil doing? Who cares? There is a real devil. There are real demons. If you give him opportunity, he'll take it. But the Ephesians 4:27 says, neither give place to the devil. Don't give him room to operate. Shut up. That's really what it comes down to. Sorry saying it that way, but that's the way what it comes down to. Now, with all that in mind, let's go back to verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. This is what we need. This is not, oh, I get it with my head. This is, oh, I get it with my heart. There's the thing with the heart is some things have to go out so some things can come in. You got to let go of some of the things that we've believed in the past and believe what the Word says. Was it we? Can you admit that you've been wrong? It's a hard thing to do, especially when you've held a belief for a long time. Diane and I have been Christians since we were little kids. Yeah, we had to admit we were wrong about a lot of things over the years. We came face to face with a faith message, and phew, you know, before that it was God makes you sick, God'll make you have an accident. I just heard somebody the other day that really knows better talking about basically God gave her a sore throat so she would stop doing something. That's not how He works. Spirit of wisdom. Isaiah 11:1-2 says the spirit of wisdom is in Jesus. The prophecy was it would be in Jesus. And I'm in Him. It's all available. What I'm saying is, as soon as I recognize how my mind works, as soon as I start looking at these things and hearing these things, I fall right back into starting to earn in some way again if I don't watch myself. What am I going to have to do? I'm going to have to believe. That's what it comes down to. Revelation, according to the Thayer's lexicon, a disclosure of truth. And it says specifically, instruction relating to Christian salvation. Instruction, revelation. All of a sudden, the light comes on inside the refrigerator. You begin to be able to see, praise God. And when it says knowledge, the knowledge of Him, wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, there are a couple of words for knowledge in the New Testament. Usually, you know, gnosis, if you heard G-N-O, gnosis, but this is epinosis. This is precise knowledge. Really what it is experiential knowledge. It's when you know something because you're experiencing it. It's one thing to talk about something. I heard about so-and-so. I've seen I've seen him on TV. That kind of thing. It's another thing to actually experiencing it. And what I'm, one of the things I'm saying, and I'm trying to get across to you and trying to get across to me, is you can experience it before you experience it. You can experience it inside in your heart before you experience it in a natural way, in a way that you can show everybody else. I have my healing. I appreciate all the prayers that go up for me, but I've got it. Don't you? I have it. It's just getting that belief down in here. I'm going to come out of this chair. You're going to manifest. You're going to have a manifestation of the things that you're believing for. Believing for when it's in your heart. That's what we're after. Praise God. And it's worth staying at it. It's worth being honest with ourselves and saying, you know, I'm still trying to earn that. Be honest with yourself. Because we're not fooling God. And there's no value in trying to fool anybody else. Don't earn it. Believe it. Faith. Praise you, Lord.
Saturday, the Lord said, go back this morning and to bring this, a step of faith. Well, good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions. Can that kind of faith save anyone? James 2:14. What does it look like to take a step of faith? Faith always requires an action. Sometimes that looks like handing a troubling situation over to God. Other times it looks like making a bold move by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Whatever form it takes, faith delights the heart of God. In fact, Scripture goes so far to say that we cannot please God if we do not have faith. Faith is like a bridge that connects our present earthly circumstances to heavenly encounters and breakthroughs. Trust in Him today. Take a step of faith. He will work all things for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose.
Praise
Him.
Let's make a confession before the Lord this morning as we go into worship.
I am
a born again
child of God.
I'm filled with His Spirit.
Forgiven
of all sins.
I am healed.
I am qualified
for all the promises.
I am delivered.
What's the other one?
There's one I didn't want to miss. I am made righteous
for
the righteousness of God
in Christ.
I am made
more than a conqueror.
Nothing
can separate me
from the love of God,
which
is in Christ Jesus my Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Joanne? Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Father. Praise you, Lord.
God said, delight yourself in Him. He'll give you all the desires of your heart.
Amen.
And I have some desires, but I also know the church has they need a new furnace. And
praise Jesus.
Last week when I was here, I wanted to scream out, I believe, I believe. And I was in the nursery with the kids, and I come out and I try to take what I can because I go out in the workforce. And last week when I was doing my devotionals, Joel said his dad wanted a new congregation for his church, or wanted a new church for his congregation. And but he knew the church down the street needed. We're working on their church also, so he said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take up an offering. We're going to take up an offering for the Spanish church down on the corner. And Joel knew, you know, they needed the money more than the church did, but it's the sowing. It's like planting a seed. And it's like Diane gets up here and thinks we think things. If she says, you know, I don't know what you're thinking. I want to get it. I want to get it. I want to know. I want to sow, and I want all my heart's desires met. So I'm sowing right here for a new furnace, and I think we should do that every week until we get it.
Praise God. It's in your hands. Here we go.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. that's a Savior, lover, giver, name above all names, ruler, redeemer, risen, conqueror, Jesus, Jesus, name above all names. Your name is Jesus, risen from the dead.
Glory, glory, glory to your name. thank you, Jesus, that our freedom is in you. Our victory is in you. Our healing is in you. Our identity is in you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes,
Jesus. I am free. Every sin has been erased by the power of your grace. And I am healed. Yes, Lord. Every sickness and disease, it has no hold on me, 'cause I believe. Yes, I believe. Hallelujah. You said it's done. Death is with just one touch, every mountain swept away. Now goodbye, guilt and shame. You overcome the grave. We lift the name of Jesus higher. With just one touch, every burden fell off my shoulders. With just one touch, every mountain swept away. Now goodbye, guilt and shame. You've overcome the grave. We lift the name of Jesus higher. 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 Jesus higher.
Yes, Lord. We exalt you, honor you, lift you up in this place. We give you all the glory and honor, praise and thanksgiving. All the adoration, Lord, goes to you, for you are worthy. Be exalted. We thank you for your name, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a beautiful name. What a wonderful name. My Jesus. My Jesus. 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 We exalt you. Death could not hold you. The veil torn before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. It's Lord. Beautiful, wonderful, powerful name of Jesus. Oh, my Savior. My everything. I worship you, honor you, glorify you. I love you, my Jesus. I love you, my Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Amazing, unconditional love. Thank you, Jesus. Let it be real in our hearts, Lord. Your love. When I feel I'm not enough, when I feel unworthy of your love, when I'm doubting and alone, broken, far away from home, when I've all but forgotten you, when I've all out forsaken you, I remember Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me so. When I think about the way you spoke the word and worlds were made, Jesus, yet you call me child, the apple of your eye. When I lie down to sleep and my heart skips a beat at the thought so sweet, Oh, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me so. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. This I know. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Neither death nor life, not angels nor demons, not anything that is to come. Neither depth nor height, not all of creation can separate me from your love. Neither death nor life, not angels nor demons, not anything that is to come. Neither depth nor height, not all of creation can separate me from your love. Yes, Lord. Oh, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Right now, most of us are in an alpha state, so we're going to just keep thanking God. And when we wake up in the morning, we thank God because we're in an alpha state. And thank Him that He's going to raise our levels. He's going to, and anytime we think of something negative, we start to thank God for it and say, I will praise you at all times. Say, speak positive things into our life all in the morning and all day long. We will have what we want, God's desires for our life. And right now, we just believe we are going to be a big blessing to this church, our body, our families, and the world. And we believe this and say it all the time, especially when we wake up in the morning. And we're going to see such a huge difference. But our important thing is we just raise our levels, make our happiness higher than it ever. Don't ever let us try not to let us be sorrowful. Levels will raise. And then we can move so much more. Move our mountains. Whatever things you believe for, it will happen. In the name of Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.
I hate coming up here without like a whole thing. I was spending most of the worship time just thinking about Jesus, my King. And then you did that song. I didn't know you were going to do that. That was just confirmation to share that all of his names are just so awesome. The one that brings me the most peace is King, because I think of a king, a righteous ruler. He's my champion. And it reminds me, too, that I'm from another kingdom, and he has provided everything. His kingdom is filled with things that our eye hasn't seen and ear hasn't heard. And I just know that when I see him as my king, I can surrender myself to his rule, and his rule is only ever good, and it has provided for us everything we could ever need or hope or want. So I would just encourage you in times of strife to remember who your king is, who your champion is, and how much he loves you, and just receive the peace that he has provided everything we could ever need or want. And I really think, too, that the more peace we get on a subject, the more peace we get about our healing, the more peace we get about our finances and our relationships and who we are, and the more peace we have, the deeper our belief is. And so every time we get the opportunity to cast our care and receive peace is one step closer to that heart belief. And the closer we are to receiving that. And while I have the microphone, can I just do a little shout out for Abide? If you haven't come to Abide yet, I would so encourage you to come. Last week, I had to work on Sunday. I wasn't able to come to church. And the week was, nothing horrible happened. It was just dry. It was so... I felt deflated and dry, and I came to Abide, and I was like a bucket of refreshing water was dumped over my head, and the Holy Spirit is here on Thursday for Abide. He's here now, but when you set aside everything else but just a date night with the Lord and just receive his love and his refreshing water, it is so encouraging, and it is so such a blessing. And I'm so grateful to be a part of a church that sees that importance and that makes time for that and allows us to partake of that together. So please come. It's so awesome.
This has been paid for by the praise God. You can be seated. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Okay, kids, what's it time for?
Noisy offering time.
Noisy offering. Okay, now I'm going to talk. Joanne just did a confirmation, you know, what she shared this morning, and I saw that part of you guys took advantage of it. What I planned on doing was, you know, the noisy offering has been going to pay off our construction loan, but since we have a priority above that right now with the replacing the furnace, the noisy offering is going for replacing the furnace. That's what where it will go toward. So this is a weekly thing. Like Joanne said, she believed that we should do this every week, that you know, this is what everything will go for. So I'm not going to dump this in there yet because I want the kids to have a noisy offering. If I dump all this, it'll be a semi-noisy offering. So we'll do the noisy part first, then we'll dump that in. But from now on, if you want to give the not-so-noisy stuff to the kids to put in, then I'm sure that they'll put in that, too, along with the noisy stuff. So, okay, let's do it. Okay, once it's in, it belongs to the church. Sorry. We got any more? Coordinated church. If you want to know how to clap, watch Jess. See, that's when I get off beat, then I look at Jess, and Jess has it on, so okay, then I start clapping and beat with her. Okay. We frustrate the group, but that's who we are. Okay. Daisy has something to share.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Can I hear some amen? Hallelujah. I am so happy this morning. I don't know if you guys have ever been to any church in Africa. I was born and raised in Africa. But when we were doing offering in church, they would put a basket in the middle. Normally there is a stand and a basket. And people would line up. You people, you do not know how joyful it is to offer to God. People dance with their offering. So they're double offering, okay? The praise and worship is going while people are dancing with their offering all the way to the front. I saw that basket here today, and I was like, this reminds me of Uganda. I'm going to go offer, and I'm going to have to dance. So people, please be happy when you're offering. Somebody sitting back there, they wish they had a penny to offer. They do not have it. Even if you do not have anything to offer, just be thankful.
Amen.
Be happy when you're offering. Mm-hmm. Somebody wishes, I wish I had a dollar. I wish I did it. Amen? Amen? Amen. God bless you.
That's my kind of girl.
I just want to do something really quick, and it may seem really silly to you, but I want Daisy's two kids to come up here. If you have not met them, this is Sugar, and this is Best. And I just wanted to make sure that our family knew who they were. That's it.
Yeah.
Praise God. So we're ready to receive our regular tithes and offerings. And what I have to share this morning goes along with everything else that's been going on, so I'm going to share it. Amen? Okay. If I can find my right note. Praise God. Okay, so everybody knows what the tithe is. What's the tithe?
10%.
10%. Okay, so I'm not here to teach on tithe, but I am here to teach a part of it, you know. I have taught on tithe here for years and years and years. Tithing is in the Old Testament, the New Testament. I believe that tithing is for today, okay? Yeah. I believe it's God's method of financing the church. Okay, so what I wanted to talk about this morning was the recognizing recently. You know, and I think I've said contrary to this before, that I've said we need to tithe in faith. But recognizing this past week, when I was listening to something or reading something, and all of a sudden I realized, you know, everybody that tithes in faith. The issue is, what is our faith in?
Right.
You know, tithing, faith is just believing. But what is our believing when we tithe? You know, because, you know, we, a lot of times when we tithe, and if you have come from a church religious background, you know, that... Because what Wayne was talking about this morning is, are we doing it because it's a works thing? Are we trying to earn something? Because a lot of times what we're doing when we tithe, we're afraid if we don't tithe, what'll happen? And there's a lot of people in the church that's the reason for tithing. They're afraid that God's going to punish them. They're afraid that God's going to withhold their blessings. You know, they're afraid that, you know, okay, Satan, you know, if I don't tithe, then Satan, I'm going to open the door to Satan, and he's going to come in and take all my stuff. But you know what? All of that is works. All of that is earning. You know, or why are you tithing? Because of obedience, you know, and the Word of God says to tithe, so in obedience, you know, we're getting more on the right track. But when we get to the point where we're tithing because it's a relationship with God, and what Daisy was talking about, I am so thankful that I'm a child of the Most High God. I am so blessed because who I am in Christ. If that's the why we're tithing, and we're giving to God, you know, tithing, and if you're tithing to give to a church, if you're tithing to give to people, you know, then once again, we're earning it. We're in a works thing. But when I tithe to God. I don't tithe to this church. You know, we give our tithe to, you know, Harvest Fire Ministry because that's who we're under. But we don't give to Doc. We give to God. That's who we tithe to. And that's why, you know, what Daisy was talking about. That's why you can dance, and that's why you can be joyful when you're giving your tithes and offerings, because you know who you are. What Wayne was talking about this morning, I know who I am. I know I'm blessed. I know I'm a child of the Most High God. I know I'm prosperous. I know, because I believe. Not because of what I do, but I believe. So praise God. I'll make a declaration. I believe we're going to become a congregation like a church in Uganda, and we're going to give like, you know, may not be today, but one of these days it's going to be a joyous, you know, can't wait to do it kind of tithes and offering. Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God, ushers, come.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory.
Hope and grace collide, a brand new life. Your love changes everything. Into the dark of night, you shine your light. Your love changes everything. Your favor and love go before me. So I've got no reason to fear. On my right and my left, you surround me. Every doubt erased by your embrace. Your love is my everything. No longer bound by sin, but taken in. Your love is my everything. Your favor and love go before me. So I've got no reason to fear. On my right and my left, you surround me. So here I am again. Everybody clap your hands, for you know our God is victorious, breaking every chain with his love for us, and it makes you want to shout, dance, dance, everybody clap your hands, for you know our God is victorious, breaking every chain with his love for us, make you want to shout, higher. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
You may be seated. We just did what our memory verse says we should do. And what is that? Psalm 103 verse 1 says, and what is in that name? Yell out something that's in that name.
Healing.
Prosperity. Deliverance. Joy. Love. Peace. Blessings. So let's say it again. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless
the Lord, O my soul.
And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Hallelujah.
Praise God. If you don't have a bulletin, get one. There's not much going on this week because it's Thanksgiving week, so that's the highlight of the week is Thanksgiving, so enjoy your week. We are having New Beginnings today, 10 minutes after service, and also there's a sign up out there next week? No, 2 weeks. Next week? 2 weeks, yes. In 2 weeks, yes, is first Sunday, so we'll have continental breakfast, so if you can sign up to help supply the things for that. The sign-up is out there for that, and, just to give you a heads-up, we had Roland J. Downs came to look at the furnace this week, and Christopher Foley Brothers came to look at it this week, and we're supposed to get estimates from them. We are in the process of contacting another Mohawk Plumbing and Heating, I think is what they're called. We're in the process of contacting them, and then Bill said that he has someone else that he's going to look into contacting. And so when we get some numbers, then we'll have numbers to share with you, and we'll see where we are and what God says, and we'll take it from there. Amen?
Praise God. And in the meantime, the furnace will keep working.
Amen.
until we got another one. Praise God. Let me send you off with a blessing. Father, I declare this is a blessed congregation, blessed, blessed, blessed. We bless you, Father God. We thank you for everything that you've done. Everything that you've done for us. We look back on what's everything that's done, and we thank you for it, Father. And we take that out with us this week and walk in the inheritance that we've received through the Lord Jesus Christ. Healed and delivered and set free in every way. And we take that same freedom out to the people that we meet. And we thank you, Father, you bring us back together to bless you again. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Amen. All right.